pressure-free prayer. Where's the pressure, you might ask? Where's the pressure in prayer? Well, I would argue that we have filled it with pressure. I mean, today we're going to be asking questions like this. Should I pray in tongues? And there's a pressure to do so. Should I pray in the Spirit? What is praying in the Spirit? What does it mean anyway? And then, am I praying enough? How about that one? You talk about pressure. You're told to pray and pray and pray some more. And maybe through the quantity of your prayers, maybe through the wording of your prayers, maybe, just maybe, if you do it right and say it right and do it enough, maybe, just maybe, you'll get the answer you're looking for. I mean, have you heard that sort of thing? And it puts a lot of pressure on us in prayer, doesn't it? And so, am I praying enough? Look at them. They're a prayer warrior. Have you heard that term? They are a prayer warrior. How does that make you feel? What are you? Kind of a prayer plebe? A prayer an amateur prayer, a baby prayer? What are you if you're not that warrior that they are? And we begin to compare ourselves. We begin to try to live up to a certain standard. Am I praying enough? How about this one? Should I be more demanding in my prayers? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe I should declare it. And maybe I should speak it. And here's my problem. I haven't been demanding with God lately. I need to name it and claim it. I need to gab it and grab it. You know what I'm saying? I need to do my part in speaking it, and then it will become true. I mean, if we're not careful, there's a lot of pressure in prayer. We start thinking we need to pray in King James English. We start thinking we need to start it a certain way. We call it dialing and then hanging up. It becomes a formality, and some people are, well, we're scared to pray in public. Some of us to this very day don't feel like we can do it. We don't know how. We don't have the words. We fumble over our own vocabulary trying to sound spiritual and sound right before God. If we're not careful, there's a lot of pressure in prayer. And my heart, my hope today is that we will let the pressure out and that we can just enjoy talking to Dad. So here we go. The first question, and perhaps the most controversial question, let's be honest, this is a touchy subject. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes on it. Should I pray in tongues? Now, the idea that tongues is a private prayer language comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Or at least it comes from a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 14. Here we go. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth and he says, "One who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, if that's all there were to this passage, it sounds like I should edify myself. I mean, if that's all there were to this passage, it sounds like I should speak mysteries. I mean, doesn't it sound cool to be in church speaking mysteries? Doesn't it sound spiritual to be in church with a way of edifying yourself? But you know what Paul goes on to say? He essentially says, don't edify yourself. That's not what spiritual gifts are for. And please, don't speak mysteries. Speak so that other people can understand you. So he's not advocating a private prayer language. Let it be known first and foremost that in 1 Corinthians 14, nobody is alone. Nobody is off by themselves. This is a chapter about church. It's a chapter about church gatherings. It's a chapter about people congregating and how they can do so without chaos, without all kinds of disorder, how they can do so in an orderly manner that's respectful of God. And in this very same chapter and in the previous chapters, I mean, Paul is talking to tongue speakers and he's talking to prophesiers and he's talking to women, and his goal is to get some order in the church service. That's what he's after. I don't know how we turned this into a private prayer language. There's no privacy in 1 Corinthians 14. They're together. There's no prayer closet. There's no separate prayer language between me and God that they are recommending. In fact, Paul is actually saying the opposite. That's what's so crazy here. Paul is saying the opposite. Make sure you're not speaking mysteries. Make sure you're understood. Make sure you're edifying other people, not yourself. That's what he's saying. And so you say, well, then how could they have gone wrong? Well, a quick look at Acts chapter 2 shows us what tongues was and is. Acts chapter 2 shows us that tongues is a missionary gift. Everyone was sharing and hearing the gospel in their own language to which they were born. And so the Corinthians were taking that gift off the streets into the church service and trying to show it off and make a show for other people. It would very much be like if I came in here attending church this morning in the midst of this very church service, and I sat on row number one right there and began to rattle off all kinds of mysteries in Vietnamese. Mo Kai Ba Bong Lam Sa Bai Tam Chin Moi. And you go, what? That Andrew, he sounds like a barbarian to me. There's no meaning to his words. And if you don't know that I just rattled off 1 to 10, how can you say amen to the 10? Eh? And so without intelligibility, without understanding, there's chaos and there's no benefit and nobody's edified. That's what Paul is saying. Don't take your evangelistic gift that is assigned to the unbeliever off of the street into the church and use it in this way. So is Paul saying pray in tongues? He's actually saying the opposite. Pray so that you're understood. Pray so that the man or woman next to you can say, amen. Somebody says, well, yeah, but that's in church. I'm talking about at home. Well, you're talking about at home, but Paul isn't. You're talking about at home, but Paul isn't. There's no shred of evidence anywhere in the New Testament for a private prayer language between us and God. God speaks English. And he speaks your native language too. He doesn't need a special language for us to communicate with him. So when we apply just a little bit of godly wisdom and a little bit of context to 1 Corinthians 14, it becomes obvious the pressure is off. You don't need to go to a class to learn or imitate a person to try to get a gift that really was intended to be about human languages, and it's evangelistic in nature. Paul continues in this same train of thought. He says, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Does that sound good? Is Paul recommending this? No. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian. Do you not see it? Paul is saying, don't do this. Don't speak into the air so that nobody gets it. There's no point. You sound like Conan the Barbarian. He continues, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't even know what I'm saying. What does that tell you? They didn't know what they were saying, but they were divinely inspired on the streets to evangelize, and they didn't even understand. So why would I pray that way? What is the outcome then? Paul says, here's the solution. Here's the answer. Here's what I'll do. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. In other words, I'm not going to do this mindlessly. I'm going to include my mind. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. What is Paul saying? Hey, whatever language you've been using to sing in on Sunday mornings, go ahead and pray in that language too, right? Here it would be English, you know, from the Anglo-Saxons, right? You know, brought over across the Atlantic. You know what I mean? There's intelligibility and community and understanding. And so he's saying, use your mind. I thank God, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, oh, that's what he's talking about. Not on the street, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Somebody says, well, why did Paul say, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you? Well, what was Paul doing that they weren't doing? Traveling to different cities where different languages were spoken, and he needed to evangelize each community, and he was grateful that God gifted him to do so in Philippi and in Galatia and in Ephesus and all over. And that's why he's thanking God for that beautiful gift given to him out on the streets, on the road to Ephesus, for example. But he says, however, in the church, I would rather speak five words that make sense to you. So we got to ask, what are we doing? What are we doing on row number one when there's 17 people saying something that none of us understand? First, Paul says, all right, if you're going to do it in church, by two or three at most, but if there's no interpreter, skip it, forget it, forget about it. It makes no sense without an interpretation. So, pray in tongues. Paul's answer to that seems to be no, pray with your mind. So the pressure's off. I don't have to imitate someone. I don't have to go to a special school or take a special class to have some sort of special gift to arrive at a second tier of prayer, something higher and more spiritual or better in order to edify myself. Paul is saying, don't edify yourself. Don't do it. It's about spiritual gifts are about edifying other people. All right, so then we have a very interesting topic, praying in the Spirit. Have you heard this, praying in the Spirit? I mean, praying in the Spirit sounds ominous, doesn't it? Now, I know you're praying, but are you praying in the Spirit? Long pause for you to feel weird and unqualified. So let's look at this praying in the Spirit. I think it's important to start with one key thought, and that is this. Tongues is not mentioned anywhere near the phrase praying in the Spirit. They're not the same thing. They're something entirely different. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift for a certain person, for a certain purpose. Praying in the Spirit is for every believer all the time. We'll see this. Paul says all the time. So they are not the same thing. Jude chapter 1, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. He's talking to Christians, beloved, any of us, all of us. He's saying, be encouraged in the faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves focused, look to the love of God, fix your eyes on the love of Jesus, keep yourselves depending on, trusting in the love of Jesus. and waiting anxiously for his return, but I want you to hone in on praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what can that mean? I mean, let's ask ourselves, didn't the Old Testament people pray? People like Noah, people like Abraham, people like Moses, didn't they pray? So why would Paul say this? What's the big deal about praying in the Spirit? Well, nobody has been in the Spirit like this ever before. I mean, think about it. Pentecost. They were waiting for Pentecost, waiting for power from on high, right? They were waiting for this special bond and relationship. Jesus talked about it. Jesus talked about the vine and the branches, me and you, you and me, put together a beautiful bond, a fusion, a relationship that's unshakable and unbreakable. You know what I think Paul's saying? He's saying, pray like this. Pray knowing this right here. You're in him, he's in you. Pray knowing it's a local phone call. It's not long distance. You're one with Christ. Pray knowing that you're in the Spirit. Now, Ephesians helps us even further. Here's the second instance of this idea. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray how often? At all times in the Spirit. That means always. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In other words, pray for each other and pray for each other often. And every single time you pray, pray in the Spirit. That's not tongues. That's location. That's pray with confidence, knowing that you're in the Spirit and the Spirit is in you. Know that he hears you and know that he's one with you. That's what praying in the Spirit is. How often do we do it? At all times. That's pretty cool. So we get to pray in a way that nobody else ever prayed before Pentecost, before the born-again experience, before being indwelt, being born of the Spirit, born of God. We get to pray with a newfound confidence. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. You know what one of his prayers was? Please, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We never have to pray that. We get to pray in the Spirit. Take your Spirit from me. That would be losing my very life. You are my life. I'm bonded to you. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm one with you forever. That's how we get to pray at all times. Amen? Amen. So pray in the Spirit. Yes. Always. Always. All right, how about am I praying enough? Man, you talk about pressure. I think this is it. I mean, it's unspoken. In most cases, it's unspoken pressure, but it's pressure. Have you been having your quiet time? Have you included prayer as part of your quiet time? Have you been listening? Yeah, but all I hear is my stomach because I want breakfast. Yes, but have you gotten up early to hear and listen and pray enough? And are you doing it enough? And there's pressure there, man. There just is. I mean, can we just be honest? So we talk about spending time with God. And I hear what we're saying. I mean, where two or more are gathered, there he is. He's with us. He's in us this morning. He's in this room. He lives in you. He lives in me. This is awesome community where we get to talk about this very fact. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what he says. And I want that liberty to reign in this room. I want us to see prayer from a liberty perspective. I believe there's freedom in prayer, not pressure. And I also believe that we can enjoy prayer when we take the pressure out of it. It's like deflating a ball. I mean, we need to just let the air out and talk about it. Am I praying enough? Am I doing it enough? Am I doing it right? Am I saying it right? Am I spending time with God? Do you know what the answer to that last one is? Are you spending time with God? Yes, you are. Yes, you're one with Him. You're spending time with God as the kids are screaming in the back seat. That's time with God. Thank God that's time with God. He's equipped you for that moment. He's in it. He's in you. You're in Him. This is time with God. You don't understand, Andrew. I'm talking about time away. Well, that's great. I mean, Jesus took time away. Take time away. We're free. We can take time away or not take time away. Somebody says, you'll be more spiritual if you do less. That's a common message today. It used to be legalism would only say, you'll be better with God if you do more. There's a new message. It's trendy. It's cool. The new trendy, cool message is, if you get away and do nothing, you're even more spiritual. If you just want to say, wait, is it do more? Is it do more, be more? Is it do less, be less? No, it's you're the righteousness of God. That's the answer. We keep looking to adjust our activity level. And look, you're free to do that. You're free to do more. You're free to do less. Paul says, I labor and I strive according to the power that works within me. And yet Hebrews says, be diligent to enter God's rest. You say, what should I do? Should I labor and strive or rest? Or labor and strive or rest? And the answer is yes. You get to be you. We don't prescribe more or less activity. What we do is we say, find your contentment in Jesus Christ. I like to be busy. I'm a busy person. I'm an active person. Somebody says, oh, how could you be that busy and be resting in Christ? The answer is, I'm being myself. How about you? Live from the heart. Do what God gives you. Live from those cravings and desires and longings. Maybe you're a busy person. Maybe you need more rest. Maybe you're not healthy right now. Maybe you need time away. Those are individual questions, and God gives us counsel. But when we start prescribing from the pulpit that you need to do more or you need to do less to be right with God, we've missed it. Spending time with God is 24/7 without interruption. It's called union with Christ. That takes the pressure off, man. You were told since you were this high in Sunday school and then youth group, you were told that you had to set apart this certain amount of time and make sure you're at church on Sunday and Wednesday, and then your private prayer times and your quiet times and your getting away and your retreats and your Sabbath and all this stuff. And it's all prescriptive. And the Spirit of God says, I made you to be you. You don't have to be like the person sitting next to you. If the person sitting next to you is type A and they have a notebook and they have a journal and they're really good at that, praise the Lord. Great for them. Right? I'm type B. I don't have a journal. I don't have a notebook. I don't have a schedule. Somebody says, Andrew, what's your 5-year plan? I say, I don't know my 5-minute plan. Okay, I think we're going to finish up in about 5. That's all I know. Am I praying enough? Look at what God does for you. Romans chapter 8. Look at what God does for you. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself prays for us, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Look at what he says. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then, not only is he praying for you, here's the promise of the outcome. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say everything's going to feel good. But he says this, look, I know your sheep. I know prayer's a mystery. I mean, isn't prayer a mystery to you? I wish I knew how to pray every time. Sometimes I just don't even know what to say. And I shared with you recently, some of my most recent prayers have been this, Holy Spirit, pray for me today. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to ask. Should I ask for this? Should I ask for that? I don't know what to ask. Holy Spirit, pray for me today. And when we don't know how to pray, God prays for us. Isn't that cool that Jesus prays for you, that the Holy Spirit... Here's the thing. The Trinity, this is awesome. The Trinity is discussing you. Is that not cool? The Trinity dances over you. The Trinity celebrates you. You're a topic of conversation at the dinner table for the Trinity. The Trinity is discussing you. And so prayer, whoa, prayer is entering into the dinner table discussion with the Trinity. Wow. Huh. But I don't know what to say at the dinner table. Every night, we have dinner together as a family. Gavin says, why do we have dinner together? I say, because we're a family. He says, other families don't do it. I say, well, yeah, but we do. But why do we do it? But what do we talk about? We can talk about our day. How was your day? Good. He doesn't know what to say yet. He's working on it. And then we follow up. Well, how was school? Good. Did you have a test? Yeah. How'd it go? Good. That's like me in prayer, right? You ever feel like that in prayer? You're like, God, hi. Don't know what to say. It's like we're at the dinner table. And we're growing up, having dinner with the Trinity, and they're discussing us and asking us questions, and we don't know what to say or how to phrase it. Now, Gavin's been growing up, and he's learning. He gets to share and talk and ask us questions, and it's back and forth, and he's not little anymore. You know? And it's like us. I still feel like a little kid at the dinner table with the Trinity. I don't know, what do you want to know? What do you want to know, Dad? You want to know how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking? You know, pray for me. Talk to me. I don't know what to say. He causes all things to work together for good. The Trinity is discussing you. You're invited to the dinner table. You're the topic of the evening. I mean, that is wild to think about. God prays for you when you don't know how to pray. All right, so we'll finish with a couple more thoughts. I think it's really important to be real in prayer. And Paul seems to say this. He says in Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's your requests. I don't need to monitor it or police it. See, I thought I kind of had to edit it with super spiritual prayers. You know, God, here's what I really want to pray, but I won't quite say that to you. I'll say it this way instead. I'll couch it, right? I'll couch it, and then it won't seem as me. It won't seem as heartfelt. I'll couch it. I'll phrase it. I'll twist it. And, you know, I'll add some verbiage to it, maybe some King James verbiage to make it sound really good. But Paul says, hey, be real. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, there's sort of a balance, I think, here. And I want to finish with this beautiful balance in prayer. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to unload. I'm going to talk. I'm going to share. I'm going to let my requests be made known. But at the same time, I'm kind of asking like this. I'm not asking like, gimme, 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 gimme. Because, you know, God is a giver of good gifts. And sometimes I don't know what I'm asking for. Have you ever asked for something? And then it actually happened, and you're like, God, sorry I asked for that. I mean, so we ask, and we're real, and we're transparent, and we speak from the heart, and God, this hurts. Make it feel better. Did you know Jesus did that? God, this is going to hurt. Is there any way we could not do this? Jesus did that. Here it is. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. And Jesus, let his request be made known. Should I be more demanding in my prayers? Let's look at Christ going to the cross. Let's look at Jesus. Here's the beautiful balance. It's a let and a yet. Look at this. He went a little beyond them, and... You talk about prayer, look at this. He fell on his face and prayed. I don't know if his hands caught him or not, but he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, give me plan B. I'll take it. Let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So do you see that? I'm going to be real with Dad. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to ask him for what I want. I'm not going to examine it to death. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to kill it with King James English. I'm not going to kill it with spiritual verbiage. Father, here's what my heart cries out for. But open-handed, not my will, your will be done. You see that? It's not gab it and grab it. It's not name it and claim it. It's not be demanding. Even Jesus wasn't demanding. And so we see the let and we see the yet. Right? Let this cup pass. Please, I'll take it. Yet, your will be done. Whatever you have for me. The beautiful balance. So final thoughts. What did we see today? Should I pray in tongues? Well, apparently, no, you should pray with your mind. And isn't that comforting? We don't have to engage in mindless repetition or in things that we don't understand. Secondly, what is praying in the Spirit? Confidence that you're in the Spirit, that it's a local phone call. The Spirit's in you and you're in Him. Am I praying enough? Well, the Bible says pray without ceasing, and the beauty of that is you're always in Him, talking with Him, Him with you, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, and even when you don't know how to pray, He takes care of that. He prays for you. And lastly, should I be more demanding in my prayers? You can try if you want. Good luck with that. We don't bark orders at the God of the universe, do we? Good luck with that. You can name it and claim it and gab it and grab it. And let me tell you, it doesn't work. God is still God. And so we walk in to the idea of prayer open-handed, being ourselves, expressing our hearts, but releasing the expectation. With that said, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we get to talk to you, that you're Daddy Father, that we don't have to fake it, that we don't have to sound extra spiritual, we don't have to try to be a warrior, we don't have to try to convince you of anything or talk you into something. We don't have to look at our quantity of prayers and think that it's a formula. We don't have to dial and hang up. We don't have to try to spend time with you as if it's some sort of spiritual discipline or ritual. We're just in you, and you're in us, and it's beautiful. And we thank you that the pressure is let out of prayer, that we get to be real. We can release expectations. We can talk to you, and it's beautiful. You always hear us. We're always heard. The Trinity discusses us. When we don't know how to pray, you're still talking us through it. We love you, Father. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.